Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we will pick up again in Ephesians, finish out the chapter 4, which is taking us a little bit, but we have to still view the last two verses in chapter 4. First off, we can't view the chapters as separating anything necessarily, but when we're viewing this, we have to view them in light of the past verses as well. And we talked about grieving the Holy Spirit last week, but we referenced a little bit before about, you know, some of the answers that we normally would get on not stealing or not having an unwholesome word or is not necessarily on a particular sin, if you will, but on a character of a person. And so we're going to look a little bit deeper and a little bit more into that, I guess, as we continue on. Here in Ephesians 4. And let's go ahead and read 31 and 32, and then we're going to go ahead and discuss it.
With all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, be put away from you, among all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
Okay, so first thing we need to do here, I think. You know, we could go on it and talk about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice, which I'm not saying there's not benefit in understanding what those things are. But to understand, I think, the point that Paul is getting at here, we need to look at verse 32 first. Because, again, it still carries on from back in... starting probably in verse 24. I mean, you could reference it back further maybe, but verse 24 talking about we were created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And he talks about some of those character traits that those people are to have that are created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And we can't just take, you know, a lot of times verse 31 will be taken in as a backup verse for something that, you know, when we're preaching about what not to do. Okay, don't be bitter, don't be angry, don't have slander. Let's look at verse 32, and the word forgiving and the word forgiven, when it says, be tenderhearted and forgiving, for just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Same Greek word, but it is not the normal word for forgiven. Okay, so like in reference, let's just turn back to Matthew 6, keep your hand here. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 12 through 15. So I want to read that, please.
And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power of the Lord forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions,
okay, so the Greek word for forgive here is different. This is the most of the time when it's translated forgiven. Even though there's a few different times that the word is translated forgiven, when there's a few different Greek words it talks about, it uses sometimes. But it, instead of like the basic monotone dutiful forgiving. That a lot of things will be betrayed as. It's not when Jesus is talking about forgiving our debts, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors or forgiven those who are in debt against us. That's a lot deeper than just, yeah, I guess I'm forgiving them because I had to forgive them. Okay, and that's not what he's getting at here. And we're going to look at that a little bit more here. But that word, this word means like a release. Or something that is letting go. Okay, that's kind of what he's talking about there. The word back in Ephesians 4:32, the word for forgiving and forgiven, it means actually to show favor or to give freely. Okay, so it's actually from the word, the root word of it, or at least a root word of it, is the word that we get grace, our word grace from, or the Greek word is translated grace, okay? And it's talking about showing favor. Okay, now remember that just like when we're talking about back in verse 25, when it says, lay aside falsehood and speak to one another, his neighbor, for we are members of himself. Yeah, neighbor throughout the scripture sometimes refers to someone, no, it doesn't necessarily refer to the person next door. And in the good parable of the Good Samaritan, it's referring to be like that to everyone. But here particularly, that's talking about within the body. So we got to remember this is still the context that Paul is dealing with here, or that he is talking or writing to, is those in the body. So when we're talking about forgiving or showing favor or giving freely to one another, what he's talking about is within the church. He's not, now it doesn't mean it doesn't carry over or overflow into the world necessarily, but the purpose, and I think, of forgiveness or actually favor, he said forgiveness isn't something, and even with God, and we'll get that in a second, forgiveness is not just something that I'm releasing it from the debt and the person is going to just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Okay, forgiveness is giving favor to them in order that they will be able to overcome. And that's kind of the idea that we're getting with this word here, is that we're extending favor to the person within the body, just as we have been extended favor by God. Let's go to, first before we leave there, in verse 32, so when it says, be kind to one another. Okay, so that's in the same context of showing favor, or the idea of forgiving with favorability, if you will, or forgiving so that they, with giving them freely what they need to be able to grow. The kindness there, the word for kind, means serviceable or good. And so the idea behind that is that be kind or be serviceable. Use yourself or conduct yourself in a way that is of service to the body as a whole, maybe people individually as well, for sure, but as a whole, be serviceable or be of good, of a good tool for the body or for a person. And so forgiving one another or showing favor to one another, like giving grace to one another. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Someone want to read verse 1 through 3, please.
There's to be laid aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. How far, Kurt?
To 3, please.
3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord.
Okay, so that word for kindness there is the same word we're talking about when he says be kind to one another. Okay, so they're being kind in the context of giving grace, freely giving to someone, to each other, being a service to the person. And so that forgiving is actually being a service to them. And we'll talk about how it affects us later. But the forgiveness is not just like, yeah, I'm forgiving you because I have to forgive you, because if I don't forgive you, then God's not going to forgive me. That's not the idea that it's talking about there. The idea of forgiveness is I am extending grace to the brother or the sister to be of service to them, to help them. And you see some similar context here with Peter in verse 1 and 2. It talks about putting away malice and guile and hypocrisy and so on, slander. If we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. See, so God has extended that servitude or that being servable to us. Turn to Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans 2, kind of in the middle of an idea, but the thought is, we'll get the thought if we read verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4.
Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?
Okay, so the word for, actually, they're both words of kindness, they're related there. So you have the first word, you think lightly of his kindness. That's a related word to, when you get a little bit later, the patience, not knowing the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So the kindness of God, that word for kindness, is the same Greek word as the one we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 4, and the one we just looked at in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. But the idea there, what he's saying there, is that the kindness of God led them or leads them, and you could say leads us, to salvation. Okay, so the being of service or something good to be able, or not lead to salvation, but lead us to repentance. Okay, and we've talked about repentance earlier today and past stuff and everything. But the kindness of God leads to repentance. So if you're in the context of Ephesians 4, let's just turn back there a second so we can kind of get the idea again there. So you're talking about the brethren here, and you're talking about letting all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away along with malice, but so that we can be kind to one another. Just that word for kind, the same word that's used as God's kindness is leading us to repentance. See, we don't repent because God is demanding repentance or else. That's not how God reaches us there. That's not how God, he doesn't appeal to us in that way. Yes, there is consequences for not repenting. But that's not how you get someone to repent, is by the threat. And that's not how God gets us to repent. And that's not how we should, as a body, to deal with someone who maybe has wronged us. We don't get them to repent. Oh, man, you better repent, because if you don't repent, you're going to burn in hell. And that's not how you get. You extend the grace to them and the favor to them to be of service to them so that they can overcome, so that they repent and overcome. An idea, and this is probably, everybody probably understands this. So let's just say, for example, you know, in parenting, you guys will probably get to this point here in a second. So in parenting, when you are dealing with kids, you know, sometimes kids can get on, you know, it should be so irritating sometimes, okay? So it's really easy as a parent, you know, you're just frustrated and, man, I just can't take another second of this. And it's easy at times, but it's not the best approach. Like, both ways with Lena and I, like, whether if she's getting frustrated with the kids or if I'm getting frustrated with kids, to say, to immediately go and say, quit acting like that. Okay, now I'm not saying that we should act wrong, but when it's not an appeal to help the kids, rather, when it, let's just say it's different. When your motivation when you communicate as parents, when you approach it with a way of quit doing that, you're dead wrong in how you're doing it, versus how can we help the kid grow, or how can we help the kid learn? So that approach is different. And when I say that to Deborah Lena, or she says that to me in a negative way, like, stop doing that, you're doing it way wrong. You're dead wrong in this. The response is not wanting to, oh yeah, I'm dead wrong in that. Okay, that's not usually the response. Okay? You don't have that issue? Okay. Oh no, yeah. So that's usually not a way to go about getting the response that you want, or the best response. But in appealing in a way, so hey, hon, you know, and this happens, I do this a lot more to Deborah than she does to me, not in season. But now, usually the appeal is that, hey, how can we get the reaction to not be like this? How can we get the kid to not react, or to maybe listen? You know, like, what's the best way to approach this and talk about it? Okay, but the response changes when that happens, and a lot of times it probably should happen away from the presence of the kid at times. Most of the time it should. It might be sometimes when maybe He's like, hey, let's calm down a second with the kid there. That sometimes that's what needs to happen. But a lot of times it has to be established before and in a way of like, what is the best way to get the goal that we want here? Instead of, you're completely wrong in this, you need to stop doing this and do it this way. See, the response is going to be different. See, God doesn't appeal to us to repent because he's like, you want to burn in hell, you better repent. You better repent if you don't want to. He appeals to us to repent because of his kindness or his favor. He wants to help us accomplish the goal. He wants to help us accomplish that. So when we look at in the idea or in the context of Ephesians 4, 30 and 30, 31 and 32, when we're being kind to one another and forgiving, or a better word, showing favor and freely giving to one another, helping, being of service to the body or to an individual, to help them overcome. Don't turn to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, or malice. I mean, yeah, turn away from that stuff for sure, but don't, you can't handle it in that way, and you can't deal, or you can't handle, you can't help people overcome that have problems with that by doing the same thing. You can't be, if they're distributing or showing wrath towards someone, you can't just show wrath in a bad way back and expect a good result. And it goes back to, don't repay evil for evil or repay evil for good. I mean, that goes back to that mindset in Romans 12 there. Don't repay evil for evil, repay evil with good. So that the goal is accomplished, a good goal is accomplished. Because evil for evil never accomplishes a goal. it's kind of came to me here, but did anybody ever watch the miniseries, The Hatfields and McCoys? Okay. You know, it's not like the best series, but you notice what the it's the Hatfield, whatever his name was. Eventually, there had been killing back and forth, okay, and it was revenge, and finally one of the Hatfields on the Hatfield side was getting ready to be hanged, and at least how this movie portrayed it, okay, and I haven't really looked in a lot of history about this, but. But how he portrayed that there is that it's never going to stop if we just keep going back and forth and back and forth. If you keep repaying evil for evil, evil for evil, okay? It's never going to stop. And that's, I mean, I'm not saying go watch the movie. I'm not promoting the movie, but or the miniseries necessarily. Because, I mean, those guys were, if the movie, if the series was portrayed them well at all, they were pretty wicked, okay? And the idea is there, I mean, we can't just keep repaying evil for evil and expect a good outcome. You have to repay evil for good in order if you want to expect a good outcome. And so that's, again, that approach that we should be taking with the brethren is that approaching them in a way to be of service, to freely give them grace to grow. Is what it's saying there. They might have a problem with bitterness. Okay, don't be bitter in return, but give them grace to grow and be of service to them to help them. Maybe they slander, the same thing. You can't put them down. Oh man, it's kind of funny when you know, you have people go around talking about people that are gossips, but they're gossips themselves. So, I mean, that's, You can't, you're not going to help the person be overcome, and the slander, you're not going to go around helping a slander by putting down the slander and really not, you know, maybe not taking consideration the whole situation. And so again, that the approach has to be the way that God approaches it, through kindness, in order to be a service to those people, so that we, or, and to the brethren, so that we can help them, and we're going to get that help in return. Turn to Matthew 18. Now this, even though this word forgive here in Matthew 18 is not the same word we're looking at, the principle in the context is definitely the same. This is a little longer. Matthew 18, 21 through 35, please.
Summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart.
Okay. So, like I said, the word forgive here is not the same Greek word, but the principle is definitely the same. So Peter starts off and asks, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And this kind of goes back to that to the little bit of the mindset that the people would have. Well, I'm forgiving you because I'm told to forgive you, so that God will forgive me. So that's why I'm forgiving you. Okay? And so Jesus says, no, not seven times seven, or not seven times, but 70 times seven. Okay, 490 times. I forgive you that, but the 491st time, I'm not going to forgive you. Okay, and that's not what the answer is. The answer is you have in your heart to be willing to forgive the brother. Now, no matter what. Now, it doesn't mean that forgiveness in the context in here as well. So the one slave, the king, which is representing God there, has forgiven the one slave, and that those talents added up to right around $10 million in silver. Okay? And so if you think of what that's worth, like that huge debt that he had with his the master there, he couldn't repay. And so the master was going to throw him in prison. He entreated him and he forgave him his debt. He forgave him, and when he's forgiving him that, he has forgiven him that so that he can go on and maybe accomplish other things, being a good slave. But then that slave turns around and doesn't do the same thing for another slave. He didn't forgive with grace, if you will, to be able to be of service to that person, to be able to help them maybe not get in debt again. See that the... Instead of seeking to help that person and help him get, you know, forgiving his debt to what he's owed, and then maybe helping him not get in that place again, he threw him in prison. And so then we know the end of the story there, that eventually the king came and threw him in prison. But at the verse 35, Jesus talks about that. He says, So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Okay, so that's where this deals with your heart here. Okay, your inner person. Forgive him from the heart. Not saying that maybe you approve of things that happen, but you're forgiving from the heart. It's not a checklist. Well, I'm forgiving because I guess I have to forgive you. It's I'm forgiving you from the heart. I'm giving you grace freely so that I can help be of service to you, to help that not be in that situation again. And in return, then that also is given to me. And then we build each other up to be able to grow. And when we go talk about in 1 Peter, we read before, is that God extends that kindness to us. And that kindness, we've tasted that kindness in order to be able to grow in respect to salvation, he says there. He's writing to Christians talking about growing in respect to salvation. Turn back to Ephesians 4. So we show kindness and favor, freely giving our brother in order to help them grow. If you look back in verse 29, that's kind of what we talked a little bit about when we went through that. It wasn't just one who swore every other word that he's talking about here. Yeah, it probably implied that person. That probably was talking about, that person was included in the conversation there. But the unwholesome word that Paul's talking about, as we looked at when we went through there, is not some swear words. It's words that aren't building up the body, words that aren't meant for edification, words that aren't grounded in truth, but are grounded in falsehood, and they're rotten. That's what that Greek word means, that unwholesome word. Unwholesome means rotten. It's like a rotten tree, the fruit that comes from the rotten tree. The character of the person is that we are speaking words that build up the body. We are not grieving the Holy Spirit. We are not given into bitterness and wrath, but we are kind to one another in order to build up the body. We are granting favor or grace, freely giving that to the person to be able to accomplish what they're, or overcome what they need to overcome. Not just bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, or malice. I mean, malice is wickedness, so I mean, you could say that's everything there. But it's more than just I'm forgiving you because I'm told to forgive you. It's I'm extending grace to you so that I can help you overcome this thing that you have done. And then in return, we can be helped that way too if that happens to us. If we've done something. But we help each other grow in that way. To help them overcome and help the character grow. To help produce the character. Again, the Holy Spirit is present in all of this. Okay? The Holy Spirit is present in all of this. But when we're not grieving the Spirit, like grieving the Spirit would definitely extend obviously to here by not doing that. I mean, obviously the master of that slave who didn't forgive his brother who owed him only 100 denarii, when he was forgiven 10,000, 10,000 stuff was worth 10,000 or $10 million of silver, that grieves the master. And so then that slave was thrown into thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. So our words or our actions and our words and the way that we approach each other is to help build each other up. Turn back to Romans 2 again. Romans 2. I'll just read in verse 4 here. Again, we read this before. And Paul says, Or do you think lightly of the riches of the kindness of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? See, we extend the grace, we extend the help to brethren, not just for their benefit, but that's for ours. We talked about the eye in the sermon today, the eye is the lamp of the body. If we have an ulterior motive to forgiving, I'm forgiving because I'm going to look good. Because they really harmed me, and by forgiving, I'm going to look okay. I'm going to look better. And an ulterior motive is going to eventually come out, because that's the idea of if the eye does not have a mind focused on what God's purpose is, then we're going to have a different motive, and then the whole body is going to be dark. But if the eye has focused on what God wants, because God's purpose of showing kindness here is to lead to repentance. And our purpose is showing kindness here for the benefit of the brethren, but also for our benefit, because if we don't develop this character, then our body's dark. If the eye is blocking that, if the focus is not on what God wants and with God's desire, then our body is going to be dark. And yeah, it's to help repentance for someone else. But see, God is showing that kindness to us and grace to us to help us lead to repentance too, to lead us to repentance. So just as we want to do this to help the body, God does this to help us, and we desire and put on that character, we should desire for our brother to succeed as well. But we also should desire the character. See, the character that we have, I mean, the forgiveness is not merely to lift the burden from someone who has done us wrong, but it's to lift the burden that is on us, because when we can't have a heart to be willing to forgive, that's a huge burden. That's a huge burden. And that's going to tear us down fast if we hold on to it. That's talking a little bit about bitterness, about anger or wrath. And you hold on to that. You start slandering. Maybe not telling the whole truth. That word slander is not very quick. When you put it together, it's not really quick to tell what's right. And a lot of times you tell what's wrong. And if you're bitter at something, you're going to focus on what's wrong and maybe not take consideration some of the right thing, some of what's right. And when you're talking about it within in the monks of brethren, a lot of times when you don't have all the information, or when you have something that you perceive and you don't show the grace to be able to help somebody, you're not going to go figure out what the problem is. So maybe some of the problem that we see is a result of something else they need help with. And we don't take that consideration, maybe. And so it's important for us to have that idea of it's not just forgiveness so that I'm forgiven. It's showing grace to that person to be of service to them so that we can help them grow and overcome what's bothering them, or overcome what's causing them to stumble, or the roadblock that they have. Anybody have any comments on that? Okay, that's all I have for this morning.